This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Al-muraqabah here is translated as watchfulness. Watchfulness. Allah, God Almighty, has different names and attributes. Asma and sifat. Names and attributes. Asma and sifat. That are befitting to His Majesty. And from amongst the names of Allah Azza wa Jal is Ar-Raqib, Ar-Raqib, the one who is ever watchful over us or over His creation, Ar-Raqib. Now, there are two types when we talk about muraqabah and we look at the texts, whether it's the Quran or the Sunnah, we see that there are two types of muraqabah. The first type of muraqabah is whereby we as human beings are conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that we are conscious of Him and that we are contemplating Him at all times, that we are remembering Him and that He is watching us. So we are always conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal in everything that we say, in everything that we do, in everything that we believe in. We're conscious of God Almighty, our Creator, Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the first type of muraqabah, that we are watchful of Allah. Not that we can see Allah Azza wa Jal, because we cannot see Allah Azza wa Jal, and no human being ever saw Allah Azza wa Jal. Not even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-muraqabah. The second type of muraqabah is a muraqabah whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watchful over you or over His creation. Where Allah is the raqib, Allah is watching over us. So these are the two types of muraqabah. Now in the Quran, in a surah, a chapter, Al-Ahzab, Surah Al-Ahzab, in verse 52, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَقِيبًا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَقِيبًا. That, and Allah is ever watchful over all things. So there's the proof from the Quran that He is watchful over all things. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Over all things He is watchful. So Allah Azza wa Jal, we need to remember that Allah Azza wa Jal is seeing everything. And one example that, you know, many scholars have given, that Allah Azza wa Jal can see and hear the footsteps of the black ant under the black rock in the black night. So if Allah Azza wa Jal can see that and hear that, then what can be said about other things that are more evident, that are more prevalent? So watchfulness of Allah, or al-muraqabah, watchfulness of Allah over you, is to know, is to have sure knowledge, ilm, yaqini, sure knowledge, without a doubt, that Allah knows about your actions when it comes to your sayings, when it comes to your physical actions, your actions of your limbs, and when it comes to the actions of your heart, what is your belief? Allah knows what is inside you. Allah knows what you are saying. Allah knows what you are doing. And He is watchful over all of these different areas. Now, in another verse in the Quran, it's in a chapter called Ash-Shu'ara, we find in verses 217 to 219, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ. And rely upon the exalted in might, the merciful. Have reliance. الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ. Who sees you when you arise. Now here, it's talking about when you arise for the night prayers. You know, when everybody is asleep and you get up and you perform night prayers, you pray to Allah in your home without anybody else seeing you, Allah is seeing you. وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ And your movement among those who prostrate. Allah Azza wa Jal, He also sees your prostration. He sees your qiyam. And your qiyam is your standing in the salah. Allah mentions qiyam because this is a very noble position. Because this is when you are remembering Allah through the words of Qur'an. So you recite your Qur'an in the qiyam. And as you know, you're not allowed to recite Qur'an when you're in sujood. When you're in sujood, you're not allowed to recite Qur'an. Qur'an is limited in the salah to the standing position, to the qiyam. The sujood is also a very noble position. Because when you're in sujood, when you're in prostration, this is the closest time that you are to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدُ أَوْ كَمَا قَلْ That the closest time that you are to Allah is when you are in sujood. Because this is like you are in a state of complete submission where you have now placed your forehead down on the earth. Okay, in humbleness and in servitude and in obedience and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now also, part of this muraqabah of Allah, being conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal, is being conscious that Allah hears, that He hears anything that you say, that He hears anything you say. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zukhruf, verse 18, He says, أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ بَلَا وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ Or do they think that we hear not their secrets and their private conversations? Yes. In other words, we do. And our messengers are with them recording. Allah hears all. And there was an incident at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قَدْ سَمِعَ in the juz' of قَدْ سَمِعَ, the first surah. This is the 28th part of the Quran. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا There was a woman who was arguing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about her husband. This jidal that was taking place. Allah Azza wa Jal from above the seven heavens, He heard that very argument that was taking place. Okay? So Allah Azza wa Jal, He hears all. So we have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows about our speech. Whether this speech is good speech, whether it is bad speech, whether you say it openly, whether you say it in secret, it will be recorded either in your favor or it will be recorded against you. And this is why really we have to watch what we say. And in Surah Qaf, verse 18, Allah Azza wa Jal says, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ Man does not utter any word except that with him is an observer prepared to record it. You know, we have angels that are writing or recording in our registers of deeds, our good deeds and bad deeds, what we are saying. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stressed the importance of speaking the truth. Islam is very, very particular about speaking the truth, no matter how bitter it may be. Otherwise, much of the content of Islam can be questioned, such as the Quran, such as the Hadith. Hence, we have very strict conditions for the acceptance of Hadith, for example. So therefore, we need to speak the truth. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ That whoever believes in Allah and the last day, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him or her speak words of truthfulness or goodness or keep silent. So you either have something good to say or you don't say anything at all. And because this tongue, we are going to be questioned about it. And this is why Islam is against the vices of the tongue, such as what? Such as backbiting, ghibah, such as slandering, namima, such as gossip, such as slandering or false accusation, buhtan. These are all vices of the tongue. And lying, kadhib. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ That kadhib, lying, leads to corruption. And corruption leads to the hellfire. It's very important not to be liars. And some people, they lie so much, subhanAllah, they become liars without even knowing it? Compulsive, that's right, compulsive liars. They become a compulsive liar. So there are people that are lying and they themselves probably don't even feel that they are lying anymore. That's to what extent they are drowning in lies. وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ Compulsive liars. People lie about all sorts of things. Islam is against deception even of the eye. Even just, you know, a wink just to deceive. Islam is against all of this. So we must be conscious of Allah, whether we are out in public or whether we are in secret. And again, we must look into our hearts and expel from our hearts, knowing that Allah Azza wa Jal is watchful over us, is forever watching over us, that we need to now, we know that He sees He hears our comments, He sees our actions, and He knows what's in our heart. So our heart is very important to be cleansed and detoxified. And so we need to expel from our hearts shirk. Shirk means associating a partner with Allah Azza wa Jal. Such as saying that Jesus, that Isa is God, or that's shirk, that's a form. And Allah Azza wa Jal does not forgive shirk, that you associate any creation with the Creator. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ Allah does not forgive that you associate a partner with Him, but He forgives whatever is beyond that. That's up to His mashi'ah, up to His will. We need to rid out and expel from our hearts what? Showing off hatred and animosity towards believers and other vices, inshaAllah. In Surah Qaf, verse 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ Listen to this verse. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and we, Allah is using the plural pronoun here, which signifies His majesty, and we have already created man and know what his soul whispers to him. And we are closer to him than his jugular vein. Allah Azza wa Jal is close. So we need to remember to fix up our hearts before Allah will make our hearts speak out on the Day of Judgment. And we need to be conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal when it comes to our actions, when it comes to our sayings, and when it comes to our heart and our belief and our the things that are related to the heart. And by doing so, you have perfected muraqabah. Muraqabah. Remember we said there's a muraqabah, you between you and Allah, and Allah over you. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Hadith Jibreel, when Jibreel visited him in the form of a man, Gabriel, and he asked him about Islam and Iman, and he asked him about Ihsan. Ihsan. I mean, literally Ihsan means what? Means goodness. But in this context, it's different. Ihsan, and the Prophet ﷺ was given the definition by Jibreel alayhi salam. He said, "An ta'budu Allah ka'annaka tara." That we have a duty to worship Allah Azza wa Jal as if we are seeing Him. We have a duty to worship Allah Azza wa Jal as if we are seeing Him. Ka'annaka tara. So when we do worship Allah Azza wa Jal, we worship Him as if we can see Him. But we know the reality is that we cannot see Him. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَى So you cannot see Him, but know for sure that He sees you. He's watching you. He's watching and listening to your every movement. Now when the Muslim has this consciousness At all times, Allah is watching me. He is seeing me, my creator, the one who wired me, programmed me, perfected me in my ways and guided me. He's seeing me. So now, when you are conscious of Allah, then you are going to be conscious of the actions of your tongue, the actions of your limbs, and the actions of your heart. In Surah Ali Imran, verse number 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. That indeed, from Allah, nothing is hidden in the earth nor in the heaven. Nothing is hidden. Very clear verse. Very straightforward. So absolutely nothing, nothing is hidden from Allah. And to exemplify this, he says elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّهُ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Isn't it this verse? Allah Azza wa Jal says, and with Him, with Allah, are the keys of the unseen. None knows them except Him. None knows the unseen in the future except Allah Azza wa Jal. Except for those things that He has told us about. And He knows what is on the land and in the sea. Now listen to this. And He says, not a leaf falls, but that He knows it. Imagine how many trees there are in the world. And all of these leaves that fall from trees, He knows about every single leaf that is falling from every single tree in the world. He is Allah Azza wa Jal. He is not a creation. He is the creator. He knows He is perfect. And He is absolutely perfect. And no grain is there within the darkness of the earth, nor moist or dry thing, but it is written in a clear record. He knows about every single thing. So we need to remember this. Imam al-Nawawi, when we go back now to the chapter here of watchfulness, he mentions a number of verses. He mentions a number of verses to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's watchfulness. And he mentions, he says, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ. We mentioned this one before, we mentioned this ayah. Another ayah he mentions, he says, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ. Listen to this. Allah Azza wa Jal says, He says, and He is with you wheresoever you may be. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ. Which brings us to this notion which the ulama, the scholars, they talk about Allah's ma'iyyah. Ma'iyyah. That Allah is with us. What does it mean that Allah is with us? وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ. He is with you. But what does it really mean that Allah Azza wa Jal is with us? وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ. Now, this must not be taken that Allah Azza wa Jal, His essence is with us, for example, in this room or in this earth. That confines Allah Azza wa Jal to His creation. And Allah Azza wa Jal is over and above His creation. Now, but He is with us with His knowledge. He has knowledge of all things. He is with us in His power, His might. He is with us in His authority. And He is with us when it comes, for example, to victory and support and aid. And to prove, there's many verses to prove this from the Quran. In one verse, in Surah An-Nahl, verse 128, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. That indeed or verily Allah is with. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Those who have taqwa, those who fear Allah, those who are conscious of Allah, those who revere Allah Azza wa Jal. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. And with those who are performing ihsan, goodness, righteous deeds. So Allah is with those who possess these characteristics, who have taqwa and who have ihsan. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commissioned, he sent Musa and his brother Harun, He sent them both to Pharaoh, to Fir'aun. Musa and Harun. So we read this in Surah Taha, and they express some fear. in confronting Pharaoh. Musa and Harun expressed some fear in confronting who? Fir'aun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them both, He says, لَا تَخَافَا لَا تَخَافَا إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. He said, fear not. Don't have any fear. إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا, I am with you both. I hear and I see. I hear and I see. Have no fear. I'm with you. So we must believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is with His creation, and that He is not in our presence. Okay? And He is not part of His creation. As there's a belief out there, you know, that states that Allah and His creation are one. This is a false belief. This goes against the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But that He is above His creation, above His arsh, above His throne. You know, one way the ulama, yani some ulama have mentioned how to understand Allah is with us without being yani right next to us or in our very His essence in our presence. For example, an Arab, one of the Arab sayings is مَا زِلْنَا نَسِيرُ وَالْقَمَرُ مَعَنَا or مَا زِلْنَا نَسِيرُ وَالنَّجْمُ مَعَنَا, that we continued to travel and the moon was with us. And the moon was with us. Or the stars, or the star, was with us. Now, wherever you go, is the moon right next to you? No, but wherever you travel, the light of the moon is always with you, yet the moon is where? The moon is fixed in its place. So, in other words, the moon didn't disappear. It wasn't like it remained with us. The light of this moon continued. Wherever we went, it was still with us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. And He sees us. Now, let us look at some of the hadith. Some of the hadiths that Imam al-Nawawi collected under the chapter of Al-Muraqabah, watchfulness. The first hadith he mentions is the hadith of Jibril, which I'm not going to read because we've explained hadith Jibril before, about how Jibril visited the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the form of a man having exceedingly white clothing, black hair, no signs of travel could be seen on him. He sat in front of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, asked him about Islam, asked him about Iman, asked him about Ihsan, asked him about the signs, when is the Day of Judgment, the signs of the Day of Judgment. You know the hadith. Okay, the hadith of Jibril. So, in this hadith, he mentions it in this chapter. I want to say that this chapter of watchfulness, subhanAllah, it has some very important hadiths. Some very important hadiths are found in this very chapter, including this hadith Jibril alayhi salam. So he did mention this hadith, Because it does mention the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that it does mention Ihsan. That Ihsan, especially that it mentions Ihsan, the fact when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked about Ihsan, and then Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you can see Him. See Him, watchfulness. Another hadith here that he mentioned is the hadith of Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhuma an Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala ittaqillaha haythuma kunta wa atbi' as-sayyi'ata al-hasanata tamhuha wa khaliqin nasa bi khuluqin hasan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the hadith is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, fear Allah, be conscious of Allah wherever you are, do good deeds after doing bad ones. If you do a bad deed, because we're not perfect, we're going to fall into sin and error. If you do a bad deed, then do a good deed. That will wipe it out. That will cancel it out. The former will wipe out the latter, and behave decently towards people. Islam teaches us to behave decently towards people. There's no need to have aggressive behavior. So, this hadith is talking about minor sins. If you commit a minor sin, then do a good deed so you can wipe it out. And Allah else in the Quran, He says, Innal hasanat yudhibna as-sayyad. That indeed, good deeds, they expiate, they wipe out the bad deeds. So this hadith is complementing that verse in the Quran. So it's not referring to major sins, because major sins can only be forgiven by having sincere repentance, al-iqla', stopping yourself from committing that sin, having regret and remorse, intending not to do it again. Okay, these are from the manners of repentance that we spoke about earlier. Now, another hadith that is mentioned in this chapter of watchfulness is the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and it is a beautiful hadith, another very important hadith to always remember. And this is where Ibn Abbas was a young boy, and he is now behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a riding animal. And he says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turns to him and he says, Ya ghulam. Ghulam is a young boy. Ghulam. Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat. I'm going to teach you a few words, kalimat. I'm not going to give you a lecture. Just a few words that I want you to remember throughout your life. And this advice really is not only addressing Ibn Abbas, but is addressing every single Muslim. Listen to these penetrating words. Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat, ihfadillaha yahfadhuk. He said, be watchful of Allah and He will preserve you. He'll protect you. You be watchful of Him, be mindful of Him, and He will be mindful of you. Ihfadillaha yahfadhuk. Ihfadillaha tajidhu tujahak. Safeguard His rights and He will be ever with you. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And if you need assistance, supplicate to Allah alone for help. Especially when it talks about that supernatural, that where nobody can really help you. I mean, we're not talking about, can you help me move this box? Can you help me with this question at university or college? We're not talking about this type of help. We're talking about things that really only Allah Azza wa Jalla can get you out of. You know, when you're in that really difficult dilemma, situation that you may be in. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. And remember that if all the people gather to benefit you, they will not be able to benefit you except that which Allah had foreordained for you. So everyone got together and they want to try and benefit you with something. Believe me, what he's saying here, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't ordained it for you, it's not going to happen. Let's say, for example, a person has cancer. And all of the doctors in the world got together to try and treat this person, to make him better. If Allah has willed for this person not to be better, do you think that he's going to get better? No. It's up to Allah. It's up to God. God can make amazing things happen. Miracles happen. That's what a miracle is. It's a supernatural event. And only Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who is able to produce these miracles. He may be, some people produce them, but by the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla, He allows them to produce that. So, again, if everyone was to get together to try and benefit you with something, they will not be able to benefit you unless Allah has decreed it for you. This is where we have to understand the power of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then he goes on and he says, وَإِنِ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَن يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. And if they were to get together and try and harm you, they will not be able to harm you except if Allah has decreed it for you. You know, again, you know, you hear about some person who has a minor fall, he dies. Just a minor forehead injury, and he's dead. And then you hear about another person who is shot. He's shot in the face or in the head or whatever, and he lives. Shot, you know, sprayed with the bullets, and he lives. Allah has not written or decreed for that person to die now. Or it could be that a person falls, as it happened once. You know, you've heard this story probably before. A person falls from a seven-story building. This really happened. A person fell from a seventh-story building, and he survived. People gathered around him, and he couldn't believe that he is alive. He wanted to celebrate. He wants to go and buy, cross the road and buy some people some drink to celebrate. As he's crossing the road, he gets run over by a car. Many similar stories. This happened even here in this country. I remember a couple of years ago, a person has a car accident on a main yani motorway. And he has a minor car accident. And he gets out of the car, alhamdulillah, you know, nothing's happened to him. And he's crossing the road and he gets hit by the truck. You know, it happens. Allah did not decree for you to die in this spot, but He has decreed for you to die in a different spot. So, رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, the pens had been lifted and the ink had dried up. Everything's already been recorded in the prescribed or in the preserved tablet, Allah al-Mahfuz. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, this is a very important hadith that you should always remember. Very important hadith. He says, احفظ الله تجده أمامك. Safeguard the commands of Allah, you will find Him before you. تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Remember Him in prosperity when things are going good. Remember Him always. Things are going good in your life, be mindful of Him, remember Him. And He will remember you in adversity. If you remember Him during the good, the easy times, He will remember you during the hard times. In adversities. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ. And be sure that which you miss was not to hit you. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ. And whatever hits you was never to miss you. In other words, what is the Prophet ﷺ saying here? That whatever didn't happen to you was never meant to happen to you. So if you didn't die in that car accident, it was never meant for you to die in that car accident. But if you did die in that car accident, it was meant, it was no way, that's it. If you were meant, it was decreed by Allah that you were going to die in that accident or in that fall, it was meant to be. So again, he's saying, be sure that that which you miss was not to hit you. That which missed you was never meant to get you. And that which got you was never meant to miss you. It was aimed for you. It was right at you. Alhamdulillah, this is what the Muslim, this is why as Muslims we surrender and we submit and we obey Allah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. So yes, there will be some trials and tribulations. And so he goes on and he says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Beautiful hadith. He says, remember that the help of Allah is obtained with patience. Patience, which is mentioned in the Quran over 100 times. Sabr. You want victory? You want to be victorious over your own challenges or over challenges in your community or the world, there needs to be patience. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ. That the help of Allah is obtained with patience and relief emerges after distress. Prosperity follows adversity and hardship is followed by ease. Yes. You go through a period of hardship, but there will be light at the end of the tunnel. It's about being patient and waiting for that hardship to be cleared. for that cloud to pass. So what do we learn from this hadith? We learn that no one has the power to change the decision of Allah, the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If He has decreed it for you, it's going to happen. We learn that whatever trouble one suffers in this world, it doesn't last forever. Don't think that it's going to be forever. That eventually there will be prosperity, that there will be happiness, there will be pleasure. So be optimistic and open-minded. Have a good opinion of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then we should always ask Allah Azza wa Jal and not ask anybody but Allah Azza wa Jal, especially when it comes to supernatural ways. I want to move on to another hadith, another prophetic gem. And this is the hadith of Anas. Anas radiallahu anhu. Anas, in this hadith which is found originally in Sahih al-Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, oh, actually Anas radiallahu anhu is saying, Anas, the great companion, is saying, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَعْمَلُونَ أَعْمَالًا هِيَ أَدَقُّ فِي أَعْيُنِكُمْ مِنَ الشَّعْرِ كُنَّا نَعُدُّهَا عَلَى عَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم مِنَ الْمُوبِقَاتِ. Now this narration, Anas is saying it after the death of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says this. He says, he's talking about the people of his time. You indulge in bad actions which are more insignificant to you than a hair, while we considered them at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be great destroying sins. So what he's saying here is, shortly after the passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, people's God consciousness and fear of Allah had been reduced to such an extent that people no longer, even the insignificant, very minor sins, those sins that were committed in that time, in Anas's time, they, the Sahaba, the companions, including Anas, they would see them as something huge. Yet, because of the less fear of Allah, people now treated them as insignificant. That's how, and that's only shortly after, probably not even maybe 50 years after the death of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Imagine now 1,432 years later. What would Anas say if he was in our presence now? And the sins that people are committing and heedless of. So the less fear of Allah one has, the more disobedient he becomes to Allah Azza wa Jal. And as the fear of Allah decreases, one becomes more bold in committing sins. Let's go to another hadith, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda. This hadith is found in Bukhari Muslim, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَغَارُ وَغَيْرَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَنْ يَأْتِيَ الْمَرْءُ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily Allah the Exalted becomes angry, and His anger is provoked when a person does what Allah has declared unlawful. So again, when you commit unlawful acts, these call for the displeasure and the wrath, the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Another hadith, another prophetic gem. Hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda. He said that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying. And here he mentioned the story of the leper, the bald and the blind. The leper, the bald and the blind. Now I'm not going to mention the hadith, it's a long hadith, a long story, very interesting story. We've mentioned it in one of the lectures that you can download from the website, inshallah ta'ala, aljannah.org. Aljannah.org. The story of the bald, the leper and the blind, or whichever way you want to put it. And we're going to mention another hadith that Imam An-Nawawi included, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الْكَيِّسُ مَنْ دَانَ نَفْسَهُ وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The The Prophet ﷺ said, a wise man is the one who calls himself to account and does noble deeds to benefit him after death. Calling yourself to account, accountability, judging yourself, and you are preparing for the hereafter. Not only investing for this life, but investing and thinking about your hereafter. And he goes on and he says, and the foolish, والعاجز, and the foolish person is the one who subdues himself to his temptations and desires, and seeks from Allah the fulfillment of his vain desires. So, again, the importance of accountability, self-accountability. And that mere desires, which are not coupled with practical efforts, are of no avail, because Allah grants reward on good deeds and not on your yearnings and desires which are not supported by noble actions. You need to do the actions as well. Another hadith, I think this is the last hadith I'm going to mention, from amongst the prophetic gems, under this chapter of watchfulness. Hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda, found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi originally. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أو من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه. It is from the excellence of a believer, or it is from the excellence of Islam, that he should shun that which is of no concern to him. Leave off that which does not concern you. In other words, mind your own business. Islam teaches us this concept of minding your own business. And this is where we find, unfortunately, in our communities, people gossiping and wanting to find out about what's happened to this person and that person and this couple and this organization. Gossip. Islam is against this. And this is an actual principle. A principle in Islam. A very important principle that one should avoid senseless talk and actions. And that if one acts upon this principle, he can save himself from many sins and evils. مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. Leave off that which doesn't concern you. Don't get involved. You know, subhanAllah, we really need to train ourselves, I think, to really stop from doing this. Mind your own business. Because you can find yourself falling into some serious sin and error. So these are the hadiths that Imam An-Nawawi mentioned in the chapter of Al-Muraqabah, watchfulness. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to benefit us with these hadiths and with these verses that we heard. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.